Welcome to the Midlife Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife. It's so good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you always.
I think we have a fun episode. We're actually talking about myths and specifically in midlife. So I'm curious to see what you have been thinking about what the myths are. I know I have my own, and I think there's a lot of them, especially for our age group. So I'm just going to open it up to discussion, and we'll just start discussing about the myths that we hear all the time and the ones that we've debunked.
Well, definitely growing up, you know, there was a, and I think this is true of all young people. They look at older people and they think of them as really old, you know, and I actually, you know, I have this like TikTok addiction. I'm like totally into TikTok. A lot of times there'll be these TikToks which will show TV stars from series that we watched when we were kids, and they will say, how old do you think they were? And you'll, you know, you look at them and you think they were like 60 and they were 45. So like even an early middle-aged person seemed a lot older than I think we seem to each other now.
The Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls.
Like one of them was like late 40s and the rest were like mid-50s. Yeah. It's like, what?
And they were like, let's face it, like nothing, no slight on the Golden Girls. Great show. Loved it. They were all like portrayed as being a little bit dowdy and, you know, most of their life revolved.
Blanche.
Well,
Blanche.
Yeah,
is that her name?
Yeah,
I was just thinking
she
of that.
She wasn't dowdy.
She was a bit of a firecracker.
Oh, yeah. She was having a good time.
Yes, but a dowdy firecracker. Right. The way she dressed and the, you know, the hairstyle and all that, maybe that was part and product of that that era. But just a general feeling of like a kind of a life set apart, if you will, for an older generation. And I don't, that has not been my experience of midlife at all. Not only do I feel like on a par with much younger people, but I actually have much younger friends, and do things with them that are much younger oriented than I would have expected based on what the portrayal of middle age was when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, being that I just came back from Colorado and a wedding of two people who are in midlife, early 60s, who could not have seemed more younger and vibrant, and looking at, I guess, a big midlife myth, right, is a myth about sex and love and dating and interest, and not that I'm going to share anything about their sex lives, but to see people finding that level of love and camaraderie and intellectual spark that makes all the people around them inspired to do and be. And somebody actually who was single at the wedding said that he was inspired to start going on dating apps and meet somebody because they busted his myth about not being able to meet somebody in your old age in quotes, if you're only listening to this and not watching us.
Well, I also think in general, people, another myth would be that as you get older, happiness declines. And I just don't find that at all. And then the other one is that as we get older, that attractiveness and beauty declines. And I think there's so much beauty in women, and I find men as they age as well, there's that handsome piece to them. So yes, we talk about youth and we talk about that beautiful, vibrant beauty that they have, but there is so much beauty I find at midlife and beyond as well in people. It's a total myth.
It's a different kind of beauty. I think when I look at older, particularly older women, but some older men, it's more of a, something shines through the eyes. Mm-hmm. And it's that lived experience and being settled in oneself. And it's a kind of, it releases a kind of joy that shows. So, you know, you may have wrinkles, you may have gray hair like me. You may have put on a few pounds also like me, but that doesn't necessarily detract from your attractiveness because you shine in a different way. And I know so many people in midlife, sort of mid to late midlife, that I would say that of.
I don't think that somebody being having a few extra pounds or not being a brunette or a blonde takes away from their beauty at all. I think you can be beautiful gray hair.
You're saying I'm beautiful.
I am.
Thank you.
So I don't define it as skinny and not gray. I don't look at it that way. I think beauty at every age is just beautiful. And I think it's inside out. Right. It comes from the inside.
It's the inner beauty, the wisdom that you were talking about that comes through in a way that is so deeply attractive. That's different from the youthful prettiness, mm-hmm. right?
I think and the character of the face changes. Right. I think there's beauty in that as well.
There's a, I meant to do this, and so somebody will have to remind me, and we can post it on the website. But I remember my dad talking about this famous quote. I think the man might have been a movie director, but he said something about how older women were even more beautiful. And there's a quote to that effect, and I really do need to find it and pop it on there, because I think that I feel it. Like, I feel more beautiful now than I probably felt 20 or certainly than I felt 40 years ago, and, you know, gray hair and weight and all of that. And I think that that beauty comes from the confidence that you have, and I think that... that's what you were talking about, that's what other people see, is that confidence, the wisdom, your character, your whole being, your soul, right? Mm-hmm. That's way more developed, and it's not just about the external facade.
And, you know, I think a piece of that, too, is that when you get to this age, you know yourself well enough to know, in terms of what you put out there in your outward appearance, what feels right for you. Mm-hmm. So when you're younger, it's like, what's in fashion? Like, what's the style of the season? When you get a little older, you kind of walk away from that. And that's another myth. I actually, growing up, sort of thought, I mentioned like the Golden Girls being a little dowdy, that like things, you would necessarily be a little dowdy when you got older. That's not necessarily true. In fact, I find it to be the reverse. Most of the women that I know, including the ladies sitting at this table, you guys know yourself well enough to know what you feel comfortable in. And when you are comfortable in what you are wearing, you look so much better than when you put yourself in something that might objectively be, you know, the fashion of the season, but it just doesn't look right on you. And maybe it doesn't fit you right. And you don't want to admit, we were talking earlier, too much information maybe for our listeners, but about bras and our bra sizes.
Just don't show it.
I'm not going to say what my bra size is. But like, that's a piece of it too, right? Because you don't want to, like, to own like that you're a different size. Like, if you're constantly trying to be something that you're not and something that you were, it doesn't look good on you. But if you embrace who you are and where you are and what size you are and what bra cup you have and all of that, you end up looking really good. And that has surprised me that you can actually, like, you can be stylish and fashionable by not trying to be stylish and fashionable.
True individualism. I would say it was probably like 20 years ago, maybe a little longer, where Ann Loft and some of those stores started actually catering to women in midlife and beyond. I mean, most of the clothes, were for younger people, and we just got whatever, or not, I wasn't in midlife at the age, but whatever scraps were left over, almost. I don't think anybody had the eye or the desire to really dress women that were 50 and older 20, 25 years ago. And now you see a lot of styles that have a modern edge, but do fit a body that's more mature. So kudos to society for doing that. But they were kind of leaving us in that space at one point.
Sure. Well, and I think you see that in movies, right? Mm-hmm. In film, mm-hmm. older actresses, you see, I mean, our population is aging, right? So advertising and marketing has to catch up with us, right? But I also think, and I hadn't thought about it until just now, that like our generation, throughout our lives, I think, experience different things as women, right? Women in the workforce. And so I think that part of, like, we were working and raising families. We didn't have rooms where you could just go quietly in a wellness room and pump, right, when you went to work. You know, I have told a story that I sat in a bathroom, a shared bathroom on top of a toilet seat, Right. Yeah, you did too, and you hoped to get there before
in a parking lot.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That too. And so I think, you know, where we then we had to be honest about what it was like to juggle parenting and working, right? Taking your kids to childcare, rushing to breastfeed your son before you ran off to, you know, get to work on time. And so now I think it's important that we talk about our age and saying what age we are, in the same way we weren't hiding from the demands of being a working mother. But we also need to be open about how old we are and how we feel about that, because then people younger than us are going to start to change how they look at a woman who's 60. Yeah.
So is the myth in that that...
Go ahead.
Is the myth in that 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 women don't want to embrace their age, and you're saying that now they will and do? I'm just trying to figure out the... Myth buster in that.
The myth buster is about beauty in your age and about what you can do at different ages. Because if we hide all the things that become myths, I mean, myth's not even the right word in that case, right? Social norms or expectations, right? The more you hide that, the more society thinks a certain way. So to bust the myths, you have to be open about who you are, what you're doing, what you're struggling with. So by sort of living our lives in the time period that we have, we actually are embodiment of busting myths.
And I think a lot of myths come from that, like us not talking about why it isn't in existence. It's not true.
Yeah, and I wanted to pick up on that because I turned 60 this summer and I made a conscious choice a couple of years ago not to buy the birthday cards that poke at age. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, a myth is maybe something people believe that's not true, but it also could be something people believe that really isn't. So we want to keep believing it. And then I had invitations to birthday party where they do the 39 plus. The person's turning 60 and everything is, and it's just like, why do we have to do that? We don't have to do that anymore. And it's freeing not to.
Right. It's as if there's something wrong with getting old, and there isn't anything wrong with getting old, because the actual fact of the matter is we all get old, right? Yeah. If we're lucky, we get old. And so, I mean, that's kind of something we should embrace, not run away from.
Yeah. I so feel that, and maybe it's a mantra, you're not getting older, you're getting better, right? Mm-hmm. Like I really do, you know, and I know aging like a fine wine. I mean, we've heard that, but I really do feel that getting better, right? Like how do you not get better as you age, right? If you're conscious of how you want to live your life, right? What did we talk about earlier, right? Mantras. What are goals, right? So you're going to get better because you have more life experience, have more lived experience, you have more friends just by the aspect of being around longer, right? You meet more people.
And actually, that was one of the myths that I think I had going into midlife, that like, your friendships fall off because, like, where do you make friends? In the beginning part of your life, you make friends at school, and then you make friends at work. And if you have a community around you, like if you live in an apartment building, you'll make friends. If you go to church, you make friends there. But those are all activities that we do primarily earlier in our lives. We make friends when we have children through the parents of our children. But that all starts to fade away. We actually have talked about that in an earlier episode. What has surprised me is the number of friends that have carried through from season to season in my life. And then also the fact that it actually keeps expanding. It's really fascinating to me. I just keep meeting more people. And I think as you get older, you get a little better at figuring out whether you fit with someone. So you don't waste your time on relationships that are just they're not going to develop. At least I find that for me. And so I actually find my circle of friends to be much, much larger now than I ever anticipated it would be.
I do think, though, I would say the same for myself, but I do know in midlife and beyond, there is a loneliness issue.
Yes, it's true.
There are a lot. It's considered epidemic now. So I think people just not buying into the fact that in midlife, you're lonely because you don't have your kids' friends or their parents as friends and things like that. Also, another myth I feel in midlife or and beyond is they don't think you can be adventurous or have fun anymore, or you can't achieve things. I mean, we look at the people running triathlons and in sports now, and master swimming at seniors and above. I think that's great. And they are definitely defying a lot of myths out there because they are strong individuals and they're challenging themselves and they're achieving. So you don't have to be young just to do that.
And you can always learn new things, right? So like I talked before about studying language. You also, right? You're studying Irish?
Slowly.
But you're learning.
Yes.
And like you can learn a language. Like we were always taught language is something you have to learn when you're a little kid or you're kind of out of luck. But that's not true.
No, they're actually encouraging it at our age because it helps ward off dementia. So it gets those neurons talking to each other. So learning a language is supposed to be good.
Yeah. You know, I had to go to a doctor for a physical thing, and we could talk a little bit about physical myths in midlife too. But I have had some, I turned 60 a couple of years ago, and like all these weird things started happening. They've all since sort of calmed down, and maybe it was just massive anxiety over being older. But I had a bunch of things that needed to be sorted out. And I went to see this one doctor, and you know, he kind of took a look at the testing they'd done and said, this is not going to be in anything, right? I can have to do one more test just to be sure, but this is a nothing. So like, what do you do with your free time? And like, so he ran the testing and was waiting for the results. And we were sitting there talking and he was asking me about my free time. I said, well, actually, while I was waiting for you to come in the room, I was doing my Italian lesson on Duolingo. He said, oh, I'm doing Spanish and my wife is doing French. And like, and we got into this discussion about like keeping your mind agile. Yeah. As you age. And I was thinking, it's not so much that I want to keep my mind agile. I just flat out want to learn Italian. Like, why can't I learn that?
And
now?
Age shouldn't be a reason not
and
to.
Age shouldn't be a reason yeah. not to. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I have a new job at work. And one of the challenging parts of my new job is a project management piece of it. And I'm not a project manager. That's never been my role in organizations. I've always kind of been the more of the executive leader leading a team. And now I'm figuring out how to manage my tasks and the workflow. And I've looked at three different programs and I'm trying different things out and I'm testing different things out and I'm learning how to use these new tools and I'm teaching myself. And I keep coming up with teach an old dog new tricks. And I was like, oh, wait, I have got to come up with another version of that. I haven't come up with it yet because I do not think of myself as a dog. So I haven't come up with that new one, but I am very conscious of learning. And I also started playing pickleball, which happens to be flat out fun. If you play with people who aren't competitive, if you play with people who are competitive, then it can still be fun, but if you're not good, then it can be a little frustrating. So if you play with people who just want to have fun, it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. But there are all these rules and this scoring and
in the kitchen.
Exactly. And suddenly we're like learning these. You almost could feel the neurons, you know, in your brain, like the synapses firing as you learned how to keep this crazy score. So it is really exciting to learn new things and have fun while you're at it.
Maybe and I think with retirement is a myth too. It's like, well, it's not so much a myth. It's kind of what you're saying. Retirement, they say, is boring, or if you have money, then you travel and do things. But it is about hobbies as well. And some of the things that you're talking about, even learning a language can be somewhat a hobby. And so I do think that midlife and beyond, we've been, in general, people are good about doing that. But we can learn. A lot of people do think that if you're older, you can't learn new things. But
when I was learning a little bit as I was thinking about myths and myths of midlife or older life, and I found this article that referenced, because, you know, every generation has, you know, Generation X and millennials and baby boomers. And so a sociologist, I don't know who the person is, coined the term perennials, which I just thought, you know, perennials, right? We keep coming back. We are thriving every year. And I just thought that was such a fantastic term for us.
I agree. I love it.
I think that's fantastic. You know, and talking about generations, I mean, I do think that there's a notion that, you know, old people, older people are like sort of crotchety, cranky, like, oh, those young kids today, you know. I actually find, not just for myself, but for most of the folks I know, most of my friends in my friend group, have really a very interesting relationship with younger generations, more thoughtful and more listening. And I think that's really particularly true among women, because we consider ourselves, I think, in our generation, closer to maybe not the real trailblazers. I think that was kind of a generation or maybe half generation in front of us. But we are still sort of a standard for our girls. You talked earlier about, like, you know, breastfeeding in the bathroom. And, like, we had to do things that, like, were kind of almost heroic, right? Mm-hmm. But they are, too. They're doing new and different things and approaching the world in a very different way. And we can still, notwithstanding the fact that we had our own baptism by fire, if you will, we can still learn something from them. And I think most of the folks I know are willing to learn. We're not crotchety old ladies that are just like, oh, these young kids today. It's more like, hey, what are you doing? Teach me about how to, you know, use this technology. Or that's how I learned about TikTok from my kids. Yeah. So.
Or new music.
Right.
That's a great way to stay current. You know, I'm thinking about myths, and I'm thinking, we are talking about midlife, but then I'm thinking about the myths that I've had in my head about my own parents and the aging population. We tend to think they can't make decisions for themselves, and what decisions they make might not be in their best, it's the best decision for them, and we know better. But I've been able to stand back a little bit and see that my parents are actually making decent decisions for themselves where they can stay happy and enjoy their aging process, even though I think society thinks that they need their kids when they're 80 to make their decisions for them. And I think that's a myth. I think there's a little bit of both sitting down. But I'm trying to think of the myths that I'm carrying myself about the older generation that I need to just reflect on a little bit and take a step back.
I actually have been thinking the sort of reverse end of that, but the myths that we had when we were younger and the myths about having it all and needing to have it all and, mm-hmm. and what all meant was being married, having children, having a career, and not everybody has that or chooses that. And again, generations have changed, right? Not everybody in our children's generation is so focused on, I have to get married, I have to have children, that will define my success. And some people I know, I've talked with some friends who that really was what they wanted. They put their career first and ended up wanting to have children but not being able to. So there was a myth that they had been sold that they weren't able to fulfill. So I think, you know, you do look at these and we've changed what we're saying, right? We've changed the having it all and what does that mean and having it all at one time. And how do you define that, right? We can be fulfilled in a lot of different ways. And I think that's a big myth that was busted. Was what your path is as a woman with a career. You know, we all sort of charted new territory there.
I always think that's a tricky one, though, because it's such a gender-influenced mm-hmm. one.
Yeah, right.
You know, being able to have it all. I think men and women can have all those roles, and I think the reality is it's hard. Mm-hmm. And I think in American society, I feel like sometimes having it all also implies it's going to be easy and simple.
Right.
So I think that might be an interesting myth that's, you know, these things are difficult. It's not, you know, so tidy and neat,
right.
You know.
And they come with sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, as you're saying that, Michelle, it's making me think one thing about myths is it's a trap that we fall into in so many parts of our life where we generalize. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's experience is a little bit different. And so the kind of have it all, I know lots of women who opted to just have kids and not have a career. I have friends who opted to have a career and not have kids. And I am someone who had a career and kids. I think we all have. I think it was stressful, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. Sure. You know, and I, you know, I mean, there may be other women who think it was too much and I would probably make different changes. So one of the things about myths is they sort of lump everyone together as if we're all some sort of monolith at different stages of our lives. And I think that's the biggest myth to bust, which is we're all different and we're different at every stage and we're as different now as we ever were. And we're all going to approach midlife in a different way, based on what our value systems are, our level of energy, our health, our families. And, you know, the goal really is to sort of find what works for you and don't let those bigger influences about what you can and can't do affect how you approach your own life.
You know, we this just hit me as you were talking. We busted the myth about the definition of midlife, right?
Yes.
Because, right, people are like, what do you mean, midlife, 60? I'm like, midlife is a mindset. Midlife is not an age. And that's really, I think, a big myth that we have collectively busted here.
I think that's a really good point. Because it was, you went Googled it, it was what, 40 to 59 or something?
It was, but there's a lot of data out there now that actually says your midlife, those years, are much longer. Like, people are aging much later in life, like at 80 even. People are living vibrant, wonderful lives where they're engaged with their family, their friends, and society and adventure much longer. I think that's partly the medical system and what it provides now, but it's also the mindset. I think a lot of people are just not accepting the myth of the midlife is boring, you can't do things, we can do anything.
Right. Or midlife is 40. Right.
Or midlife is 40.
Right. Right.
Which goes back to the Golden Girls. Right. I love how we go full circle.
No, it's a good topic, talking about myths. And I think it's good to try and debunk the ones that are there and have stagnated, or people have just thought that that's the way it is, because it's absolutely not at all. And I mean, second careers and third careers, you see that going on at 40 and at 50 and at 60, and more people are becoming adventurous later in life.
Well, as you know, because we've talked about it, I mean, I can't wait to retire from my regular job so I could go on to my second job, which is going to do more of this kind of stuff. And I just want to say, it was not a pretty sight, but I did wear a two-piece bathing suit and jump off the side of a boat into the water. So, like, you could do anything.
And maybe it was a pretty sight. Do you know what I mean?
You know. Maybe.
Honestly, I heard the word smoking. So I will say, I think you look better than you thought. I heard that on the boat. So good for you.
I'll drill down for details after this episode. I want to know names.
I will give you the name. No, I mean, this has been a good topic. Anybody, any other myths that you can think about that you feel that you have not embraced the myth, but actually the opposite? For me, it's adventure, I think. Like, it's not boring later in life. People think, oh my gosh, they feel sorry for you because you don't have kids at home anymore. Like, what are you going to do? You poor thing. Like, you kidding me?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it is a transition.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden you're fueled with all this energy.
Okay. What's the myth about sex after 60? It doesn't exist.
Yeah, there is a myth that there is no sex after 60, and that's just not true.
Right.
It may, in some cases, have to take a different form, because sometimes there are physical issues that impede the, you know, the sort of frisky, youthful sex that you had when you were 20. But that doesn't mean it goes away. And it can be very fulfilling and part of having a meaningful relationship with somebody. And plenty of people, as your friends who got married, I'm assuming they got married because they want to have sex together. A funny story about that, though, my in her later life, my uncle died when she was, I think, in her 70s. And she met a wonderful man that she then had a relationship with. They would go dancing every Saturday night. And at some point, somebody asked her, like, do you have any interest in getting married? And she was like, I am so done with that. Like, I don't need a man for that kind of thing. I just need to go dancing on Saturday night. So I guess there are some people that really don't need sex in their 60s and 70s. But, you know, it's a normal function.
Oh, I think it could be a beautiful, wonderful time. Kids are out of the house. You have more space. You have time to connect. And also it's a time and an experience where you can still feel like you're youthful and you're in love and all of that. So I actually think that in midlife and beyond, sex can be a wonderful thing.
And I think, you know, it adds to the knowing yourself better.
Yes.
Confidence. That also can expand your fulfillment sexually. But another thing, again, back to the aging of our population, right? So there's a recognition of body changes that maybe 40 years ago weren't addressed. Mm-hmm. Now there's hormone replacement therapy. There are all kinds of, you know, everybody knows there's Viagra, but, you know, there are all kinds of different treatments that are, again, available, but also acceptable that enhances the experience as well. And maybe 40 years ago, there weren't. And so, you know, sex wasn't perhaps as enjoyable than if people physically weren't able to enjoy themselves as much as perhaps we can now.
And closely related to that is even where the sex itself is different or takes a different form, the intimacy is still there. And the intimacy in some ways really grows and deepens in a beautiful way. You know, we're taking the dance classes and our dance instructor, we're doing tango. When we had a lesson last night, and he was like, I want you guys to do a closer embrace, you know, get closer together. And he's like moving our bodies so that, like, it's actually kind of awkward. Like, your hand goes here, his hand goes there, but our hips go like right up against each other. And he's like, there, now tell me you don't feel that. And it was like, that actually feels really good.
Some of the most beautiful things to watch in society are the older couples that are holding hands and they're kissing and the older man's giving the wife the rose. I love that. I think this is a good place probably for us to close the segment. It's beautiful and it is a wonderful thing to do, to myth, I guess you would say, myth bust, that there is love beyond 60 and beyond midlife for sure. Anyway,
I would say love and lust.
Love and lust. But you can find us, our podcast at AmericanMidsters.com. Thanks for joining us.